We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out why she's single, or I was trying to, and I've given up. Now I'm just talking about love with people I find interesting. My guest is a two-time Emmy Award-nominated actor, comedian, and youth pastor. You know him from iconic works like Kenan and Kel, All That, and Good Burger. The long-awaited sequel, Good Burger 2, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Ooh, I'm so excited! I get to talk to Kel Mitchell!
Yo, what's up? I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is exciting. So wait, you're from Chicago?
That's right, South Side, Chicago. All day.
My whole family lives on the South Side, so I've probably seen you a couple times just walking around. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
How long were you in Chicago?
Oh, man, that's where I got my start. Like, I started out in theater in Chicago. It was something to do. My parents tried everything. I was a bit of a class clown. So they were like, we got to have you try something that's positive. And I got into theater at ETA Creative Arts Foundation on the South Side of Chicago. Shout out to Renako Jahi, my drama teacher. And that's how I got started in acting.
I love that. What was the school name again?
ETA Creative Arts Foundation. And so they put on theater, plays and things like that on the South Side. And they were just amazing plays. And my family, we used to go there all the time. And then one summer, my parents were like, hey, yo, you should sign up for the kid, showcase. And we did like a whole thing for the summer. We learned dance and Katherine Dunham technique and tap dancing and acting. And I just fell in love with it. Like, oh, this is where I need to be. And then I just started doing plays there. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And then you auditioned for All That your sophomore year of high school. How did you find out about the auditions? I always wonder how people, before you get like an agent, or unless you had an agent and a manager, but I'm like, how do you find out about shit like that or stuff like that? Can I curse? Because I know that you're a Christian.
Be you. It's okay.
And I don't want to offend.
It's all good. Be you.
Okay.
Let me see. Oh, so then I was doing theater at ETA, and then I started doing theater in downtown Chicago. So I started doing Goodman Theater, Victory Gardens Theater, and I remember I did a play called Eden, where it was about a West Indian family that went to America, and it was really deep, but it was really cool. It was a great, great, great thing. And I got, noticed by a lot of people, and, I was in different newspapers and magazines, and then I got an agent from that.
Ah,
and so
when
I got an agent, I started, you know, going on many different auditions. Chicago is a little different than it is now as far as like television. Like back then it was like more commercials, infomercials. So when like, and TV movies every now and then. So when all that came along, it was this like sketch show for kids. That was big because I had already been like going on auditions and things like that. Not to like get on TV, but it was just like a thing where like, this thing is working. My parents, they told my parents, this boy got something. And so, but yeah, I auditioned for, you know, all that. It was a nationwide search. And I mean, back then it was, you know, no Zoom or nothing like that. So they were literally scouting city to city for kids. And it was like the Avengers of every funny kid in the United States. And I went up against them and battled it out and got in there. So, yeah.
Can you tell me about your audition? Did you forget your monologue?
Yeah, you know that, huh? I did. I was, I had finals at my high school. And so I had finals on the brain. Never forget a monologue, but I went in there and I just had a brain fart. And so they were like, hey, do you want to, you know, like go practice it, go outside, come back in? I was like, all right, sorry. Didn't practice it, came back in, but I knocked over some of the like equipment. Cause you know, we talking about like 90s, like 90, 94. So it was a big VHS, like big old camera. I knocked all that down. I did it funny though, in the way that I like tried to like put it back together and they thought that was hilarious. Uh-huh. They were laughing, but I thought like, oh, I ruined this. And I came back in and they were like, do you have any impersonations? And they thought I was going to do like celebrities. Like that's what I guess all the other kids were doing. But I did like my funny uncles and my coach at my school. And then I would do all these different things. And so like within that audition, it was born in that audition because that was something that me and my cousins would do when we watched like Saved by the Bell and all those different shows. We were like, how would they talk on the South Side of Chicago? And it was like, yeah, dude, well, let's go over there, dude. So we were doing that. And then I did my coach in there who was very, very mean and always mean to kids. And so that's how Coach Creedon was born in there. Like, shut up, sit on the ground. So that's, you know, and 2 weeks went by, I didn't hear anything. So I thought I didn't get it. If you know how auditions, kids know how auditions go, if you're listening. But I remember a call. My mom picked up the phone and she was like, huh? Say what now? What happened? What's going on? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we flew to L.A. for the second round of auditions. And that was the Avenger part where I had to see all these like kids that had been on TV and stuff. And but I went up against them and got in there.
I really love that. I like when people do things that are so like unique to them or authentic to you. Like you're like other kids did impressions of celebrities and you're like, I did impressions of like people I know and things I thought was funny. Yeah. Like doing what I think Saved by the Bell on the Chicago South Side is just inherently funny. And I love that. I love that you had that intuition as a kid. Like, I feel like that's just like, you fell into doing exactly what you were meant to be doing.
That's what's up, man. It was, yeah, man. We just had so much fun in there. And then for that, because I was just talking to Keenan about that. I'm like, for now, you know, Good Burger coming out again with part two, just to, you know, from that, even those moments, because a lot of people think about the movie and this is part two, but I think about it being on, you know, all that in 94, it just like the blessing and, you know, people still enjoy this character. Like it's cool.
It's really funny. And you honestly are such an incredible performer. My favorite thing is seeing people that I think are very funny on television and then seeing them in person. Cause we shot in front of, if you guys didn't know, I'm in Good Burger too.
That's right.
So we shot in front of a live audience and sometimes downtime, they're just standing there, but like you entertain them in the downtime and it was just really magical to watch. And it was very clear that everybody in that audience was like a big fan of you and a big fan of Good Burger. And like you just truly gave them what they came for, if that makes any sense. Sometimes people are like, nah, I'm tired. It's a down. No. But you were just like, you know, I really loved it. It was so nice to watch.
Oh, man. I appreciate that. You killed it, too. You're amazing. Y'all got to check it out. She did a great job in it. You know, I told you me and my wife are fans of you. So, yeah.
But
I just wanted everybody to enjoy it. You know, you could see the love that they were giving us. And that's what I'm all about. I want everyone to just enjoy and have fun. And then, you know, you see that on screen. You see, like, the fun that the crew had, mm-hmm. the audience had every day. And, yeah, I'm happy to be there. Just have that joy. Like, we're doing something that, you know, we've dreamed of doing, you know, a job that we enjoy, you know, and hey, why, you know, you don't have a screw face doing that.
I agree. Also, you guys treated your crew so nicely. Like, sometimes you pop in to do like a day on something and you're like, yikes, they had a tough time. Ooh, nobody's happy. But like, the crew was happy to be there. And I think I was there the last day, and I asked one of the camera operators, I was like, how many days do you guys have left? They're like, oh no, this is the last day, and we're like kind of sad about it. And I was like, oh, very rarely are there jobs where people are like, I don't want to go. But yeah, people, I don't know, it seemed like such a fun time. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, God, this looks like so much fun. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Y'all check it out. Good Burger 2.
So wait, you said you have a wife.
I too.
When did you meet your wife?
Beautiful, beautiful Asia Lee Mitchell.
How did you meet Asia?
How did we meet? That's my best friend. So we met, a friend of mine was actually a security guard. He was a Q dog, right? Mm-hmm. Well, still a Q, you know, retired Q dog, you know. Anyway, so he would put on these like talent shows for the kids at Compton High School. Right. Mm-hmm. So he would do that. So he was like, I need a celebrity to come in and actually host it. And it will have celebrity judges and you host it. I said, dude, I'm there. I love giving back. So I went there to go host this. And then they also invited other like celebrities and local celebrities to come. So there was this young lady that was a local celebrity that was a hip hop artist and was like amazing on stage mm-hmm. and just killing it. And had a whole like crew and a bunch of people there with her like name and flags and dancers. And I said, yo, this girl is like amazing. And she's a really mm-hmm. good rapper. And I became a fan. That's literally how this started. This is my wife at the time. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm just a fan. I'm just like, whoa. And so I started following, you know, her music. And then we became friends as well, mm-hmm. because she had a clothing line and she was just like, oh, I would love for you to, you know, rock my clothes. So I was like, oh, yeah, I bet. So I started rocking the clothes on like different appearances on, you know, some BET things and the other stuff I was doing. And we became like friends every time, like on the phone. So like, you know, I would go on a date, she would go on a date, and then we would talk about what happened in those mm-hmm. dates and those things, right? And we would do that, and that was super, super fun. And I remember we would talk to like the sun comes up, you know, and about all kind of stuff. So I remember it was one date that she was going to, and this is really cool that it's around this time, because I remember it was Halloween. And I was watching some type of BET movie with sticky fingers in it or something like that. And I was sitting there watching it, and she was about to go out on a date. I'm on the phone with her, and I was not going out on a date with anyone mm-hmm. at the time. I was just sitting there watching this BET movie. And I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I was just like, you know what? You should be dating me. I don't even know where you going. Where you going, right? And so she told me where she was going, but it messed her whole date up, right? It messed her whole date. And she had me on the mind, right? So then whoever that guy is, so it ruined his whole situation. She got back, called me, and then we started talking about us actually dating, and then mm-hmm. You know, us going out, and yeah.
I love that you ruined that date.
I did.
You ruined that man's chance. He was like, why isn't she into it? I've been a gentleman this whole time, and she just seems like her mind is somewhere else. It was with you.
That's right.
Oh my God. When was the moment that like both of you were like, ah, I think we're in love?
Ooh, it was a lot of those moments. Cause remember, like we started off as friends, and the beautiful thing about it is that we secretly were in love with each other, both of us, but not saying nothing. You know what I mean? And I remember it was a lot of those moments, but one that resonates so much is because we both discovered this at our reception at our wedding, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a time where when we were just friends, right? And she was doing an event over in Long Beach, and we got on mm-hmm. this like Ferris wheel. And when we got on it, it was going up, you know, really, really high and everything. And we got on there together, and it shook, right? Mm-hmm. So when it shook, she jumped in my arms, right?
Oh.
And when she jumped in my arms, I had like this vision, like for real though, but I had a vision, like I was like, yo, this, I think this is my wife. Like, word up. Even way back then, I was like, it just hit my heart. And it was funny because I'm talking about it within a reference, then my wife was like, I felt that same thing when I was on the Ferris wheel at the same time when that happened. And I was just like, there it is. Look at that. We're meant to be together. There it is. It was such a beautiful.
I love it. I have trouble dating. I've been single for so long. But when I hear stories like that, I'm truly a hopeless romantic. Some days I'm like, oh, I give up. But then I hear things like that and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be on a Ferris wheel with somebody and jump into their arms and be like, ooh, that's so cute and so romantic.
Yeah.
So do you think being friends with your partner before you start dating is the key to like a good relationship?
I do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really do, because you really get to understand each other, you know, and what's funny about it is that she knew so much about me at this point. Mm-hmm. And like the whole things like with, you know, with other relationships I was in and dating and all that stuff that I had been through. And I knew about her, you know, because we were both very open about the relationships mm-hmm. that we were in, which was cool. And then now to know each other on that level and be best friends and be good friends and then continue that friendship within being married is such a great thing. Like, she knows me, I know her so very well. And, you know, and I loved it because in prior relationships, you know, you'd bring somebody around and be like, oh man, you got to bring her around or that person come, you know what I mean? But with my wife, it's like, everybody's like super excited, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's so cool. Like, you know, just us together, it's super awesome. You know, it's a friendship. And I think that does definitely help, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want that. I want a best friend who's also my partner. It just seems fun to be like, ooh, I can't wait to go home to my bestie. You know, I went to dinner, but like, I can't wait to tell my best friend what happened at dinner.
Yes. That's us all the time. Like, we're always talking, great conversations. You know what I mean? That's that's awesome. Yeah.
So what was your proposal like? Did you plan something or was it low key? What was it like?
I definitely planned something. I was like, this has got to be awesome. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But my wife, she's a planner. Mm-hmm. And everything is like, you know, like to the T, she knows everything, right? So it's it's hard to surprise her, right? So you got to work on it. So what I did was that I had a whole full day planned, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had a breakfast plan that we were going to go to. I believe it was Marmalade. I think that's where we went for breakfast first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went there, right? And I put her in the car and then I went and hit the switcher box for the electricity mm-hmm. in my place. That was that. So I turned it off and made sure all the lights didn't work. I'll explain mm-hmm. later why I did that. Right. So then I get in the car. We have, you know, Marmalade. Then we went to a drive-thru because it's not a lot of drive-thrus out here in LA. So we had to drive mm-hmm. out far. And we were like, yo, let's go to a drive-thru movie because we were like a bunch of big kids and we were like, it'd be cool to do a drive-thru movie. And we found one, I think it was called mm-hmm. Tiki something, that was like drive-thru. And we saw a double feature. Bridesmaid was part of it, which was cool. Mm-hmm. So we saw the movie. Did all this fun stuff, had lunch again and all this, right? And so I'm going back home. It's dark now. And I walk her in and I have her go in the place first, like mm-hmm. go in my place first. So she goes in and she's going from light to light, like nothing's working. The switches aren't coming on. What's going on? And she comes back into the living room and I'm on my knee and the ring box had a light in it. And so I was just like, you are the light in my world and the light. And I see you. And then that's how I proposed it.
Oh, my God. That is so beautiful and cute. And I like it so much. Oh,
hey.
Oh, my God. That's so sweet. I love that. Did she cry?
She did. She did. And we hugged. And then, you know, it was awesome because the only light was literally coming from that ring because everything was dark. And, you know, the light coming from her and everything from smiling and stuff. So, and me smiling. Oh, so that was cool.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
Just to go back to after you got all that, you were 15. So when did you start dating? And did the show affect your dating?
Yeah, definitely. when I was younger, I want to say I was dating before I got on, all that. I remember my first date was when I was, I want to say like eighth grade, seventh grade.
Okay.
Around that
okay.
time. You know what I'm saying? I had an older sister that chaperoned me on my first date, which was funny. So she chaperoned me on my first date. Because the girl I was talking to, you know, I was just like, oh, no, I don't want my mom or dad to take me. And then, but my sister was like super cool. She was like, you know, salt and pepper and all that stuff back in that time. Like she had cool jackets and all that stuff. And she had her boyfriend at the time and they were like, oh yeah, you just come with us. And I'm like, oh, that's fun. And so picked up the girl and her boyfriend allowed me to get in front of the car and was like, you know, like I'm driving, but we were all going in the backseat. But yeah, that was, I remember that one because that was like one of the first dates. So that was super funny. Yeah.
Did girls like throw themselves at you? Because I feel like, so I call them chuckle fuckers for comedians. It's women who like go to shows and they're like, I don't really care what you look like. I just want a funny dude. Did you have girls be like, oh my God, I like lift up their bra for you to sign? Like, were they wild like that?
Yeah, they were. It got pretty wild. Like when all that came out. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was, you know, and I was, it was wild. You know what I mean? And it was fun because we ended up being like the heartthrobs and, you know, I was on Team Beat and all that stuff, Tiger Beat, you know, the magazines. And so,
oh my God, like, I remember those magazines. That's wild. Do you have any old copies?
I do. I had the S Curl and I was just like,
are they framed or are they just in a drawer?
I think my mom has them.
You should frame them because it's iconic and only a certain generation remembers them. So like if you have them up in your house, like just put them in the bathroom. And like you'll just, every time you hear someone new go in your bathroom, they'll be like, oh my God.
I think I posted one with me and Keenan and we were in, I want to say Fat Farm or FUBU outfits. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the JCPenney type of picture.
Yes. But we were just like really posed and it doesn't look natural at all. Nobody's comfortable.
And they had the font like, yeah, Keenan killed the fresh teens. And yeah, but I remember like girls, it was wild. I remember one that Keenan and I, we went, you know, some double date to one of these like amusement parks. And the girl just attacked me and like the ride, like the little ocean ride that you go through. It was like the Small World type of thing.
Yeah.
And it was a part where it gets dark. And it was just like, she just, hey, just jumped.
Oh, my. That's terrifying. People are scary.
Yeah.
Was there a girl who wanted to meet you and then she had an asthma attack?
Oh, yeah. You know about that? Oh, that was funny. That also happened. That was at Disney, I think. We were all the kids were there. And they were like, run to the trolley, because they have this private trolley for celebrities. And so we're running to the trolley, trying to get away. And there's like a crowd behind us of screaming girls, and they were running after us. And everybody got a trolley. I turn around. I said, I'll just sign just one. And so I turn around. And the girl is like, starts hyperventilating. But it started off, you know, like, I was, oh, she's just excited. She's like, oh, kill, kill, oh. And then it went, and she fell out, like, literally right there on the ground. And I'm sitting there holding her hand, waiting for her.
Oh my God. That's wild.
It was wild. She fell out. It was wild. But
that's scary because you're like, I don't know what these people are going to do. And then it's like, they don't attack you. They just almost kill themselves by having an asthma attack. That's wild.
She's okay though, everybody. She's okay. You listening?
No girls were hurt in the making of your stardom.
Stardom. Yes.
Kel, real quick, we have to take a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Ooh, boop, 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 boop. We're back. Okay, can you tell me, do you and Asia fight at all? Do you get into disagreements, and how do you resolve them?
Disagreements? Yeah, I think every relationship has disagreements, you know what I mean? But what's cool about us is that, and this is what I love about my wife, she's 100% real, and I love that. And then, you know, even sometimes where it's accountability and I'm like, what? And I'm like, how should you do? But it's like, I love it because, you know, it keeps you on your toes, keeps me on my toes. And conversation is key in any relationship. Every time someone asks us about, you know, a relationship, I'm saying conversation. You know what I mean? Make sure you have a conversation, keep it 100 with one another, pray with one another. You know, that's a big thing. And then also, you know, have your own time of prayer too, as well, on certain things. So for even before if I have something that's going on or it is a disagreement, I take it to God first because I want to make sure that I'm coming into it with kindness and I'm coming into it with thinking about both sides, like how I feel about it, but then how she feels. Because then a lot of times in relationships, you know, how when people are in a conversation and they're listening to someone, they're just thinking about the next thing they're going to say before that person finishes. You know what I mean? And it's not like that with us. It's really like, yo, I really want to hear, you know, what you have to say, and I want to understand it and I digest it and, you know, and be able to us come back to a happy medium together. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's important. You know, that's definitely what's important. Sometimes I got to keep it 100. Like, yeah, I was wrong. You know what I mean? Or she go, yeah, I was wrong or whatever. You know what I mean? And then that's just the beautiful thing about mm-hmm. it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's actually really good advice to, I don't even know if you realize you're giving advice, but you were like, people are thinking about the next thing they're going to say and they're not actually listening. So it's like, if you're in a fight with someone, maybe it's like, before you form what you're trying to say, be like, what I think you're trying to say to me is this. So you like get it right and there is no misunderstanding, and then you can make a response. Kel, that's really great. I was walking my dog yesterday and my neighbors were outside their house screaming at each other, screaming. So we're recording this a little earlier. I know it's closer to Thanksgiving as you listen, but this was Halloween day. And this man was like, I'm going to get the haunted house set up. And she was like, but our kid doesn't want the haunted house. She told me she was scared of it. And he was like, what do you mean? She really wants it. And she goes, this haunted house is for you. It's not for her. And he's like, for me? What do you mean? And then they went into him going, you are miserable. You're fucking miserable. And he's like, fuck you. Fuck you. They're screaming outside. And then she was like, if you think we're going to have a full Thanksgiving and go to Paris the next day, you must be high. You must be high. And I was like, oh my. And I was like, if they look at their cameras, I am spending a full 5 minutes going back and forth in front of their house, because I was like, this is juicy. But also, I didn't realize people spoke like that to each other in real life. I thought that was like heightened for movies and shit. I could not believe it. I was like, oh my God. And when he was like, you are miserable, I was like, what I think he's actually saying is, you need to play more and get behind this haunted house I'm trying to make. And then she was like, you are not helping me with Thanksgiving and we have to travel. And I was like, should I knock on the door and be like, I think I understand what you guys are trying to say to each other.
Right. Yo, watching that is always wild, or hearing that from people.
It was and nuts.
But it sounds like was a buildup.
Yes.
And we talk about this all the time, me and Asia, where it's like, you know, talk about what it is in the moment. You know what I mean? How you mm-hmm. may feel, or find a moment within it. Don't let too much time mm-hmm. go by, because it's from that conversation. It literally sounded like she was holding on to that. You know what I mean?
And then it was just like pent up aggression.
Yeah, pent up. You did this. You did this. You did this. You did mm-hmm. this. And then now, letting you have it. You know what I mean? And it's like, uh-huh. No. Like, you know, just talk about it. You know what I mean? Especially when you have kids as well. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're not getting a lot of sleep. They got whatever they got going on and all stuff like that. And it's the thing about it, like, talk about schedule, everything. Even with the kids, like, we have them, their schedules. We talk to them. We talk about, you know, what's going on with them, how they're feeling. We have real conversations. You know what I mean? So even with the kids, Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, is this kid home? And then I was like, also, it's 11 a.m. and neither one of you are at work. I think your lives are okay. but I think that's great. I think it's great to like just constantly communicate. And I have trouble in the moment being like, I'm a little upset about something, but I'm really trying to learn how to go, hey, I don't really know why I'm super upset right now, but like, I think I'm a little upset. I'm still cool to hang out, but I'll get back to you with my actual feelings soon.
Yeah. That's cool, though. That's that honesty, though. You have an honesty within that, because you don't want to say something within feeling weird that, you know, you might regret later. So taking a moment is good, too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Taking a moment is great. You know, I remember I sometimes, like, because I have a creative mind, I'll get to, like, just yapping. You know what I mean? So I'll come in from a creative meeting and I'll come to the house and I'm yapping like, yeah. But I didn't even ask like, hey, do you have time to talk yet? You know what I mean? Because she was working on something and, you know, she'll let me know. She'll be like, hey, can I finish this first? And then I could do that. And before, it used to be making me like, but I gotta get it out. But now I'm like, you know what? that's real. She got stuff going. Mm-hmm. She got stuff. Let me take a second.
Give her a second. I dated someone once where I would do that a lot. I would just like come in and like just like dump my day on them and not ask them about their day. And it was like the first like real relationship I had been in. And I didn't realize I was doing that until they were like, hey, just so you know, you come in and you just kind of really talk. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I just had to like practice coming home and then being like, hey, how was your day first? And then maybe like start making dinner or something and then go, hey, can I tell you a little bit about my day? And then it's like more of a give and take. It's, I feel like when you're single, you're like, it's just me. And then when you start dating someone, you're like, oh yeah, it's me and someone. And I have to accommodate that someone because they're living a life too.
Yeah. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing thing. It's learning one another. You know what I mean? And when you get that, it's like, it's work. It's a beautiful work though. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because you're working on, you know, learning, you're working on sacrificing, you're learning on, you know, having empathy and not just mm-hmm. thinking all about yourself. Because when you say, well, you know, you just say.
You're just, ooh, baby, it's me. I don't got another care in the world.
Right.
Just to double back, like yeah. you and Keenan essentially kind of grew up together. So was it nice to have someone there who was going through the same things as you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I always tell people because we didn't get on like when we were like on TV when we were like five. So we did have some, you know, because we were about 15, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
15, 14. So, but it was cool to be relatable on that end, you know, because he was, you know, from Atlanta, I'm from Chicago. Our parents were, you know, similar. Our moms, same height, same thing, everything like that. And it was cool to like be able to navigate through life at the same time, you know, while dealing with being in the public eye too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been in the public eye, yeah.
That's an interesting point because someone who starts in television at five is a huge difference from someone who starts at 15, which is a huge difference from someone who starts at like 30. So yeah, as a teen, what was that like?
It was deep because it was a shift. You know what I mean? Because I had, you know, life was going, you know, how it was in the shy, you know. And then now people starting to notice, you know, who you are. It was a thing of I got my friends that are on the show that are in Florida because we started out in Florida. And then I got my peoples I grew up with in the shy. And then it's the navigation of the people that just want to take advantage, meaning that I just want to be your homie. Cause who you are on TV, but I don't really want to know the real you. And so that's a real thing where it's like, you have to navigate. And then also within dating, that's a real thing too, that you have to navigate too, because people wearing a certain face that they really are not, they're not being who they really are. You know what I mean? So
that can
be very, very difficult, you know, when you're, you know, are in the public eye as far as like trying to be in the dating scene and doing that too. Yeah.
What's the worst date you've been on?
The worst date I've been on? I want to say, well, I don't want to say worse because then people might be like, remember, be like, ooh, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. No.
Or the wildest date.
Okay.
Or memorable date where you're like, I can't believe this is happening.
No, I'll tell some crazy ones. So I had one, I'll tell two. So one where it was this girl, sweet girl, pretty girl, sweet. But after the date, I'm walking her to a car because I'm a gentleman. You know, I like to, you know, walk people to the car, right? So I'm walking to a car and everything falls out. Like, I'm talking like, you know, Nuggets, McDonald's, just all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff. It just threw me off. And it was just like, I don't think. Yeah. No.
You went on a date with a Hamburglar. That's so funny to have chicken nuggets fall out of your purse. That would happen to me. I would be like, I'm sorry, I was keeping them for later.
It was like, no, and it was like, you know, trash and different things that was in the car. And I remember I was telling that to a friend of mine and they were like, but yo, you think she might be living in a car? And I'm like, no, she wasn't. No, she wasn't living in the car, man. She wasn't doing that. But it was just like this whole thing. And then another one is like, cause like, wow, you know, hookups and wild stuff. I remember my homeboy called me at like, I want to say like 12 a.m. And he was just like, yo, dude, the girl I've been dating, she in town. She had a friend house. Can you, my car acted up. Can you drive me there? What? Okay. So I was like, I'll drive you there. He was like, yeah, here's this catch though. It's like, it's almost to Vegas. What?
What?
I was like, what? Almost, but we in LA,
almost,
man.
Almost to Vegas.
And I said, but, you know, this the homie. He looked out for me. He liked this girl. I said, all right, we go to Vegas afterwards. We'll turn up. I said, okay, cool. So I go there and do this, get there. He's like, yeah, she got a sister. So you just keep her company. So I'm like, all right. Uh-huh. He's smiling the whole way when we driving up there, couple hours. You know, so we get there, and he was right. He was like, the sister was cute. She was cute. The sister was cute. Mm-hmm. But we get in there. He go into the room with the girl, lock the door, and I'm there stuck with this other girl. And all the pretty went out the way because she took off her jacket, and it was like this. She had Band-Aids on, and she was talking about these like crazy adventures that she didn't have. That was a little wild. Mm-hmm. Then she was talking about her baby daddy that likes to come to the house.
No.
And he liked to come to the house, and he mad that who be over there because her friend be bringing people over there.
Now I'm like, wait a minute.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get the homie to wake up. Hey, bro.
Yeah. We got to go back to L.A.
Yeah, come on out. But yeah, just crazy escapades, you know.
That's wild. Have you ever seen the movie Zola?
Zola. No, I haven't.
It's based on a Twitter thread of a exotic dancer who goes on this wild adventure with this white lady that she meets. Mm-hmm. And they're both strippers. And she just does, like, things just keep happening like a dude who's going to come to the house, who's mad at who hangs out there. And that sounds like the sequel to Zola. That's so funny. She's covered in band-aids. She's like, my baby daddy coming. He's not going to be happy. That's so wild.
She's sneezing, really coughing. Wild. I'm like, what is what's going on?
Sneezing and coughing.
She said it was a dog bite.
Oh, no.
It was wild. Yeah, that was a funny one. But yeah, I'm getting to all kind of craziness with crazy dates and crazy things.
I love just saying yes to wild things. And I love that you said yes to driving halfway to Vegas.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. That was around when, because I had been married before. And so I had a divorce, and then I was single. And so shout out to everybody that's single, because that world is crazy. Try to navigate and find out. So it was just like, hey, I'm out here. I was at the, you know, going to the clubs, going to the everywhere, the clubs and all that stuff. Different days, in and out of different relationships with girls. And so it's crazy. Like, I understand, like, you get weird people. You know what I mean? Your dates are weird. You know what I mean? You know? And so, but yeah, I'm so happy I met my beautiful wife, because now I'm just like, whew, I ain't got to deal with all that. And then I hear like my cousin's stories and my friend's stories that, you know, are looking for, you know, someone, and they tell us about their crazy single life. And I was just like, oh, man. So we praying for you, sister. I already know it's deep out there.
Thank you.
You're going to find somebody, girl. You're going to find somebody.
Ooh, I hope so, Lord. this might be too personal, so you don't have to answer it.
Uh-oh.
Is co-parenting with your ex hard, or was that an easy thing to come to?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's always a difficult thing to do, you know, but if you stay real and consistent in your parenting style, it works, you know, and then the kids will be able to, you know, say, hey, when I'm over there, this is how it goes, and I'm over there. This is how it should go. You know what I mean?
I never thought of that. That there's different rules at different houses.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's wild.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of have to adjust and be like, oh, okay, so I guess you don't do that here either? I don't know. Like,
yeah. So that's why I always say it is difficult. It takes some prayer.
When did you become a youth pastor?
A youth pastor? I became a youth pastor officially in 2019.
Okay.
But I had already been doing it since 2016. And so I had always been out, you know, giving motivational speeches to kids and juvie homes and high schools and different things like that, just telling my story. And But then I remember it like so clearly. I was praying, and that, you know, God was like, look, I want you to preach. And I said, well, whoa, hey, you know what I mean? I was like, how am I going to do that while also being on TV? Because at the time I had a show called Game Shakers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how am I going to be doing this in while preaching at the same time? And I went to my wife and I said, hey, babe, how am I going to do this? I have no one to talk to that I know that is a preacher mm-hmm. and also acting on or in the entertainment business. And I was doing stand up at the time too. And she was just like, hey, she was just like, you be the first. You be the first. Uh-huh. You could do it. And I tell people all the time, it's not easy. You know what I mean? Because no. I've been doing it for years now, and it's not easy. And then, you know, when you tell people you're a youth pastor, they think like I did some like online thing, and then I'm giving Good Burger weddings. And no. This is for real. Like, I'm there every Sunday. I'm already, like, after I get off the phone call with this, you know, I got to figure out, setting up for Sunday. You know, it's an mm-hmm. all-week thing, and I'm constantly talking to my teens and my youth and praying for them and, yeah, man. Yeah, like I said, it's an ongoing thing. But in all my ups and downs of life, God was always with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And helping me within my faith. So for me, say no would be just wrong. It's how mm-hmm. I feel. And so for me, all the blessings and things that I am getting is because of me being obedient to Him and to the call and doing that. And it's a blessing when you see, you know, teens or youth say, hey, man, I got a lot of what you said, Pastor Kill. That really helped. You know, I prayed mm-hmm. about what you told me to pray about. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah.
So I grew up in the church, and our pastor ministered so much and did so much. Do you feel depleted? Because I feel like stand-up gives so much. It's like for an hour, you are giving people, like it's, you're giving yourself to people and you're making them laugh. And I know I'm tired after shows and then working on TV and then also ministering, because that's not just a Sunday thing.
Yeah.
That's a multiple day thing. Do you feel depleted ever? And then on top of the, do you feel depleted? What do you do to like fill your cup?
Okay. So definitely that's a real thing. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm glad you know that. Cause yeah, you do feel like that, especially when you're giving yourself and you're hearing, mm-hmm. you're opening up spiritually and you're also hearing other people's stories, you're praying for them. And it does, you know, it can get to a point where you get tired, but, there's strength that, you know, helps me out with in praying, meditating, speaking to God. You know, mm-hmm. it's a spiritual strength that I get where it's just like, okay, you know, let me go out and do this. One thing that I do all the time is that I get up at like every day at 4:30 a.m. And so I get up at 4:30 a.m. 4:30 a.m., right?
You said that so casually. The sun ain't up. Nobody else is up. 4:30 a.m. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. That's okay. Why. Because nobody else is up. And it's like I got to be able to like get ready for the day and prepare for the day. How am I going to respond? How am I going to show up as a dad, as a father, as a husband, my business, all these different things. And then mm-hmm. I work out after that. My wife's working out another part of the house too. She's working out and she's talking to God. And then we get, you know, the toddlers get up, our babies get up. And so, and then the work
starts. Wait, how old are they?
They are 6 and 3. Yeah,
ooh.
6 and 3.
Oh, they're young.
Yeah.
Six
and three. So you got to imagine, you know, you got toddlers and then my older two, they're older than 23. And 23 and 22, 24 and 22. Yep.
Damn.
So, yeah.
You started over. You were done. You were done. And you said, better get two more.
Yeah. And it's like with my youngest, Wisdom and Honor, they like they have so much energy. You know what I mean? They're super excited. You know what I mean? And so it's like you got to, you know, prepare for that with the toddlers. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, being a pastor, working in entertainment business, PR, meetings, interviews, TV show, all that stuff. And by the grace of God, you know, it's really the Lord, you know what I mean? Me getting up, working out, being healthy, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just really, and me and my wife, my beautiful wife, like I really will say that because we're a team and mm-hmm. working together, you know, and what she does, what I do, and working together and just making sure it's cohesive. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, like we go, like a lot of times I tell people, like we're doing Good Burger too. People were partying and stuff like that. I'm like, nah, you know what I mean? Afterwards, because you know, I got to show up as Ed, you know what I mean? To give this like energy that's like super, super fast, super, super, you know what I mean? And there was also where it's like, I need to rejuvenate. I get up at like 4:30. 4:30 a.m. and getting ready for my day and my mind and, you know. God,
what time do you go to sleep?
So, okay. So we try to get to bed like around 10 o'clock,
okay.
Which is good. So we get to bed at 10. The kids go to bed at 8 o'clock. Yeah, like 7:38. Yeah. And so then we have our time to kind of like go to bed, get everything going. And but yeah, it works for me. I'm sure that's not for everybody because that is very early, but it works.
It is.
And then if it's times where I have to do something super, super late and I have to adjust, you know what I mean? But the consistency of doing that to renew my mind, I put out a devotional book called Bless Mode. And that came out in 2020. And so I put that out in 2020. I wrote it during the pandemic. And it was literally me saying, it was a devotional book. And it was about this, like preparing for your day, commanding your morning, commanding what you're going to do within your morning. Our mouth is power. You know what I mean? And so a lot of times we're carrying all the baggage from the day before, or all the craziness from the day before, the negativity, just letting that go. Getting up early in the morning, you know, choosing joy, know you were born for a reason, and going after your day. And so it was a thing that I had to do all the time, you know, to get myself ready, get myself ready. So I wanted to share that with others because people were like, you get me to do a book. And I was like, I don't want to do a memoir. I want to do like a devotional because I feel like I want people to get up and know that they're beautifully, wonderfully made by God. They can go after whatever dream they want. Let's go do it. And I wanted it active. And so like I would put like a prayer there, a story about my life, you know, a Bible verse, and then at the end, a call to action where you have to do burpees or you have to do some push-ups or you have to do something, forgive someone that you never forgave at your job, all these different things. And so, it's a fun book, man. It was, it's still out now and you can go get it, Blessed Mode, everywhere.
That. I'm doing this book right now called Calling in the One, which is this lady. She has you do a bunch of like exercises and she claims at the end of it, you will find your partner. And I'm at a stalemate because this lady's like, I need you to draw a portrait of yourself and cut out empowering things from a magazine. I was like, ma'am, this is too much work. But I will say, I just need to hunker down and do it because I believe in visualizing stuff and I believe in manifesting the things that you want. And then I do think that book is good for people who have trouble with getting self-motivated to do things. Because if you have something that you have to do in the morning, you're like, this is what I've committed to. It really does affect your life in a great way. Because anytime I put a routine in place, I'm like, oh my God, life is easy. And then I fall off because I got ADHD and I'm like, I don't know. What are we all doing? I'm asleep till noon. So maybe I'll get that book. Maybe that'll be good for me.
Yeah.
Kel, real quick, we have to take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You seem very positive.
Yeah.
I like that. I do a lot of interviews where people are like, how do you stay so positive? And I'm like, I don't know. I like to smile. I like to laugh. And sometimes I'm sad. But for the most part, if you get sad, you just kind of smile. And then, I don't know, life gets a little better.
Yo, it's the thing about it is that, you know, because, you know, a lot of times even with comedians and within comedy and stand up, because I did that whole thing. So I totally understand it. And I remember when I first started doing stand up, shout out to you, because people who do stand up it's deep. And I know it is.
It's
and so
tough.
It's tough. And the crazy thing about it, when I first got started, I was just going up there like, oh, sketches and all this different stuff. And that wasn't it. You know what I mean? It's like, you really, you got to get up there and you got to have where the people relate to you, tell your story, keep it 100. And so I went through the trenches. I went to all the, you know, the workout rooms. I would sit there with the list saying, oh, they going to let me up. Like, I did the whole thing for a few. So I got to a 1 hour set. But I said all that to say, when I started headlining and doing those things, what was funny, because around this same time as I was doing stand-up, and I was going through a lot of ups and downs, you know, oh my goodness. And I was going through a lot, but it taught me a lot because I was being very open on stage, you know what I mean, within things, wherever I was just coming from and being on stage. And then with them being, and finding that joy, making people laugh, because laughter is medicine. You know what I mean? It is that. But then being backstage and also hearing all the stories from the comedians of all these people that have got on stage and gave all of themselves to make someone laugh, but then they were all going through hard situations in the back. And I don't think people really understand, once they put that mic down, what they actually going through in the back. And it was like a therapy session in the back. You know what I mean? And so it's like doing that for a few years and understanding that. And then I remember praying, you know, with some comedians at a time too, Gijo, about certain things we were dealing with in the back. And it was weird how it's like that catapulted me into, you know, me being a full-time preacher, because when I started doing it, it was just like, it's like literally the same thing almost, where it's like you finding that joy. And there's people that are there that are dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, but you're saying, look, I relate to you. I know what you're going through. I've been there. You know what I mean? I know what you're going through. But then at the same time, it doesn't come from a, you know, you're not ending it on a dark place. You're ending it on joy, because you want them to walk away with joy and knowing the love that God has for them. So, but yeah.
Here's a question. This might be too deep, but how do you keep your faith in like dips in dark times and stuff? Because I grew up in the church, and then when my mom was very religious, and then after she passed away, I was like, well, and people be like, God only takes the good ones. And I was like, well, that doesn't seem nice. That's pretty rude. So I just kind of stopped going to church and whatnot. And, but yeah, how do you keep your faith?
Man, in the dark time.
Is that a dark question?
No, that's a real question. And I love that. That's a real question. A lot of it is because I'm the type of person where I used to replay everything. So if it's like a dark situation or something that I did or something that's going on, and it would just bring my whole day down. You know what I mean? Or whole thing down. Yeah. And you get into depression. I've been through depression. I've been, you know, suicidal thoughts, all these different things. And it's like, when I think about it now, thinking that I almost took myself out of here, you know, and the thing about it is that if I would have done that, then I wouldn't have met, you know, my beautiful wife. I wouldn't have, you know, I had my kids and all these things that are happening, you know, and then going on, that I would have not saw if I allowed the, you know, the enemy and the depression to pull me down, right? And so here's the thing about it is that you have to find that joy. Do you know what I mean? Because when you really look at it, and I tell people all the time, you know, like when people are saying to you, like, why are you happy? Why are you finding this joy? Why are you doing that? Well, hey, man, this is what's getting me up to be able to even do what I'm doing and to do these things that I'm doing. And the thing about it is that you have to start to write down, like, you know, a lot of people, you know, you do diaries and things like that. You know what I mean? Or they'll write down, like, you know, all their emotions and everything. But then also, you know, look at the times where God did bring you out. You know what I mean? Look at the peace and the joy. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, focus on your darkest times. Focus on your depression. Focus on that. Because a lot of the times, it's really in the mindset of us repeating it over and over again. This brain becomes a cage. You know what I mean? And all it does is it's just like a drive of like all the things that happened that are horrible over and over again. So what you got to do is you got to renew it. You got to take some of that trash out and replace it. You know what I mean? And replace it with the joy. So start thinking about those joyous times. And some people might go, well, I haven't had that. So how do I do that, Kill? You know what I mean? How do I do that? How do I have that joy? But are you're breathing, right? So that's another way to start. You start it. You know what I mean? You can start it. You know, it's all about our choices. And it's all about, we have a choice to have to figure out peace and have peace. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you say, hey, I'm going to wake up this morning and I'm not going to talk about all the crazy things that I'm doing. And then do inventory of yourself, too. Like a lot of times it's inventory. Because what are you doing that's bringing you down? You know what I mean? I had to look at that. What is it? Is it, you know, you go through emotions, then you go get a drink? Or then you slip back down? Or is it a person that you're talking to and all y'all do is talk about all the bad stuff? And then when you get off the phone, you feel even worse after that? Do an inventory. You know, start doing some things that are bringing you joy, that'll put a smile on your face. Start thinking about where you want to be. That's where faith is. You know what I mean? So start thinking about this life that you want to have and this happiness that you want to have. And how do you get there? What are the steps? Just like we were talking about planning, you also have to plan spiritually too, where there's a consistency. It's a growth that happens. It just doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight with me either. It's a growth thing, because I've had many conversations with God like, hey, man, you know what I mean? What's going on?
What's going on? What is this life? Come on.
But then I start to look at like, oh, this happened, so this can happen. This horrible thing happened, but then this beautiful thing happened from this thing happened. You know what I mean? And when you start doing that inventory and start going through that, I wouldn't be here if this didn't. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Yeah.
Also, you know what? On top of like working on yourselves, I wish we told kids younger that they should find something they love and that should be their occupation. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like a lot of teens and like older kids like get into trouble because they're just like, I don't really have a thing that I love. Like nobody told me that entertainment was an avenue for me. And had I found that out earlier, I think I would have been a happier kid. My sister was like, don't stop telling your cousin this. My cousin loves smoking weed. And I was like, why don't you get an associate's in business and open a weed shop where you can be high all day since you seem to really love it and be your own business owner? And my sister was like, don't tell him that. And I was like, yeah, but that's what brings him joy. Like he really loves being high. And I feel like we don't tell kids enough of like the different avenues that they could go through. It's like, do you love the Bible? Do you love church? You could be a pastor. Like that's not an avenue people are told they can do. I don't know. Yeah. I think we should tell people that like you should love your job. You shouldn't hate your job. You spend most of your time doing it. So maybe that's the thing that brings you joy, that sets you up for more joy in your other parts of your life.
Yeah, just, you know, being observant of your kids and what they're into, you know, because some people like you have a kid like, you know, you'll see a parent and the kid is just drumming on the couch or something like that. And they're like, put your hands down. Stop making all that noise on the couch. Well, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're into drums. They're into drums and they like that, you know. And so being observant of kind of like what it is that they are drawn to as a kid or as a child. And, you know, this might not be the thing, you know what I mean, that they'll be doing as an adult, but just finding those different things that they are gravitating towards, that's positive. That's not going to take them in the wrong direction. Because, you know, there's other things that you can have joy for that might not be so positive. So you still got to be a parent within that. But having it be something positive, like, you know, with my kids, I'm always like, we're always like, okay, let's try this, let's try this, let's try that, let's try this. And my parents were very much like that too, where it's like, let them try this, let them try this. And then you just see the one that, you know what I mean, that really sticks. Yeah, and it's cool to see that come together. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Kel, okay, we have come to the end, but I do have two last questions.
Okay.
What advice do you have for single people all over the world? What is your advice to help them get into a relationship?
Oh, work on yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Work on yourself, meaning that, you know, you need to know, okay, like whatever it may be, like you just said, you're reading books, you're doing all these different things, you know what I mean? And that love, you got to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And the thing about it is that you got to let go of a lot of past relationships and past things so you don't bring that over into mm-hmm. this new relationship that you're having. Because a lot of times within dating, these things that I discovered too, like you're bringing all this, what happened, and you're just in your mind emotionally, not like you're physically bringing the person. I'm talking about like emotionally, you're just there or you're snapped back into it. And it's like, no, let go of all of that. Work on yourself. And then you'll be ready to be able to bring this king or this queen into your life. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think that that's what's awesome, because ultimately, you're going to become one. Do you know what I mean? And then also, too, the reason why we're dating is because we're trying to find the person that we're going to be with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you need to take the lust side out of it. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times the lust is in there and you're attracted to someone, and then it's sex. Because I remember I had a relationship with a girl, and it was all about just sex. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, yeah, well, bless me celibate. We were going to be celibate, right? Mm-hmm. And our relationship fell apart.
Ooh.
Like, boom, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Just right there, because we realized, oh, it was the sex that was like mm-hmm. the thing with the two of us, right?
The thing that y'all had in common.
Yeah, and so a lot of times in relationships, people are married at that point, and then they discover, like, years later, like, uh-oh, you know what I mean? Like, why are we having all these issues? Because you never showed up as your true self. You were just, she bad, he bad. You know what I mean? And y'all will argue and then have sex. You know what I mean? So, no. Take that out. You know, really understand you. You know what I mean? And who you are. And mm-hmm. you'll find the right person. You know what I mean? We'll find our person. Take time. You know what I mean? Like, my wife, she took time for the kiss, which was dope.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, that was dope, though. Because for me, I'm used to like, oh, first date kiss, but first this, blah, blah, blah. But being that we started off as friends, we understood each other and the relationships and things like that. So she knew all the stuff I've been through and stuff she's been through, all those things. And so it was a cherished thing. You know, like how back in the day where it's like, it's chivalry. Like you're mm-hmm. literally like going, you know, it's for this woman, I'm going to show you the world, right? So it was beautiful that we took time with the kiss. So it was a lot of long hugs and a lot of loneliness. And when we finally did kiss, it was just like, woo, this is like, you know what I mean? Like water.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Which is now I get to do this kiss every day. And then us
Wait,
also.
Wait, how long did it take for y'all to kiss?
It was a few days.
Oh.
And it was, but what was sexy about it was that it was just like, yo, I'm about to get this kiss from her at some mm-hmm. point. But it was so dope because it was just like, it made me feel like almost like a kid again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, you know how it is, like your first kiss. You know what I mean? But it's like dating so many people and doing all these things over and over the years, that becomes like, oh, that's just second nature. It's just, but it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It should be like, you really love this person and I'm really trying to, these lips should be like sacred. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And when you look at it in that way, it's like, oh, okay. And then we also decided to be celibate too as well. So we did that.
Oh.
And we were celibate. And
for how
we
long,
did that till we got married.
Don't mind.
We were celibate for 3 years. 3 years.
Yep. Wow.
And that was hard to do.
imagine.
Yeah, it was hard to do, but it was such a beautiful thing because now I could know my wife on a whole different level. And that's what I mean, like with us being best friends, you know what I mean? And then when we finally, you know, when we had our wedding and we had our wedding and marriage and all that stuff like that, mm-hmm. and finally be able to, it was beautiful. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it was sacred. It's the chivalry. It's like, I'm mm-hmm. really dating you. You know what I mean? And, but mm-hmm. I want to understand you and get to know you. See, a lot of times we, it's a selfish thing when people date. A lot of times, where it's all about them, and this is what I want. This guy, person. Well, what does that person want too? Within that,
mm-hmm.
do you really know that person all the way? Do you really know their reactions, their feelings, their past, their futures, their thoughts? How do they choose joy? And it's beautiful mm-hmm. to be able to love my wife in that way and understand her in that way, and then boom. And here's the icing on the cake. Now you can have sex. You know what I mean? That's
did you wait
thing.
For marriage, or did you have a date that y'all waited to get to?
No, we actually waited for marriage. We waited for marriage within that. We waited for marriage. And it was just like, you know, I had been in, you know, so many other relationships and things of that nature. So this was cool to be able to do that, you know, and her doing that too. She had been in relationships and stuff like that in the past. So for both of us, this was, you know, something we were doing for the first time and doing it. And it was just like, okay. And to really do it and really be committed to it was awesome. Because remember I told you about a relationship that where I did try and it just fell apart. So I was already in my mindset of like, but I was living my life to the point where I'm like, okay, straight consistency of faith, straight consistency of us doing this together. And that's what made it like beautiful this time around with my wife doing that. And so I tell people all the time, do that. It's for women, you know, hey, hold on for a second. You know what I mean? My mom used to always say, don't give them the milk, you know. Don't give them
the cow before the cow.
Yeah, you know that saying. Something. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But it's just like, like, you know what I mean? Get to know the fella. Mm-hmm. And you get to know the missus.
Interesting. I think it's interesting because it's one of the, like, it's not for everybody, but it's like, maybe just take an inventory of what hasn't been working. And maybe that is something that you need to try. And maybe it won't work out, but maybe you could do like a mix of the two where you wait a little bit, but then eventually. I think that's good advice. I like that.
Yeah. Like, have you ever been hungry and you want to talk about
it? I've been hungry.
No, I'm saying like super, super, super hungry. And then you pick Taco Bell, right? And then now you throwing up or something. The same thing. Like you super, super, you know, like thirsty. And then it's this guy. And now y'all in the relationship because y'all did that. You know what I mean? It's like, no, no, take the time. Chill. It's all good. Wait till you get home and get a nice meal. Just take your time. Take your time. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yes. I can't believe I thought you were really asking me if I've ever been hungry. I was like, I have. You're like, no, I'm trying to make a point. Kel, so I ask all of my guests this. I've only missed it a couple times. Would you date me?
Well, I'm married. I'm in a relationship, so I can't. Okay.
Fair. I understand. That's a very good reason as to why you're saying no.
But you're going to find yourself a good man. I know that.
I would like to.
You are good.
Honestly,
people.
Pray for me. And I'm not kidding.
You're good people.
Just send up a prayer for me, please.
I will.
Thank you, Nicole.
You are going to find somebody beautifully. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I know you
are. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Kel, before we get out of here, is there anything you'd like to promote?
My book, Bless Mode, the devotional book, my adventure book for kids, Prank Day. You can get that. Both of these books are everywhere books are sold. You can get it at Amazon, all over, Barnes & Noble. And then Good Burger 2, it's out, everybody. Make sure you see it. Good Burger 2, Nicole is in it.
This is really fun.
Fun movie for the entire family, y'all. Y'all got to check it out. Fun movie. Yeah. And spread love, everybody. It's all about love.
I love that. Ooh, if you write me something nasty hitting on me, am I saying that right? I'll read it out loud. And you have to write it to an email address. Why can't I talk anymore? It is whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com. This is so hard for me. Okay. This person said, hi, Nicole. I'm going to show up at your house with a bullet vibe on a remote control. We're going to watch a supercut of Sonic the Hedgehog movies. Only with the sexual tension between Robotnik and Sonic. Nothing else because Sonic is a kid's movie. It'll be sexy because it's romantic between two adults. Haha, Kimmy knows what's up. LMAO. This person is also a listener of Best Friends, and that is a conversation we had on Best Friends. So I guess you have to listen to my other podcast as well to understand this one. Okay, bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Yes. Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.